Listen to the voices of our world.
I fear that we've got another Scalia or Thomas, not another O'Connor or Kennedy.
That's why we've got to fight very, very hard that we get a centrist to replace Sandra Day O'Connor.
Somebody who's not committed to basic civil rights and civil liberties is just unfit to serve on the nation's high court.
You're looking at a tilting to the right and the potential loss of some very long-cherished rights that Americans have enjoyed.
Welcome to Voices of Our World, a presentation of this station and Mary Knoll. I'm your host today, Casey Morabito. Chances are, at some point in your life, you paid a visit of some sort to a courthouse. You served on a jury. Good for you. You took the oath that made you a citizen of the United States. Welcome. You tried to fight that speeding ticket. Hey, me too. You probably passed right by her and barely noticed her, our symbol of justice. A woman holding forth a scale and handicapped by a very prominent blindfold. If you never thought about those iconic details before, the scales indicate the weighing of the two sides of any legal dispute, and Lady Justice is blindfolded because she must remain impartial, free of influence. And that takes us straight to the rumble over the nomination of John Roberts to replace departing Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. Most will at least agree a candidate for the highest court in the land should be independent, nonpartisan, not liberal or conservative, but blind to influence. Does Judge Roberts fit that bill? We'll talk with Erwin Chemerinsky, Alston and Byrd Professor of Law at Duke University, and with Catherine Spiller, Executive Vice President of the Feminist Majority. Right in the middle of all Rove all the time, the press got the expected heads up. President Bush, in a rare primetime TV appearance, would announce his nominee to replace retiring Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. What ensued in the broadcast world all afternoon was reminiscent of the I Love Lucy episode with the first-time pop-to-be Ricky Ricardo pacing and sweating and pacing in full theater regalia in a hospital waiting room awaiting the arrival of the unknown. The speculation was boiling over. Gotta be someone from the Fifth Circuit. Maybe Edward Prado? No. Could be Emilio Garza. Or wait, maybe he'll pick a woman to replace a woman. Could be Edith Holland Jones. Or Priscilla Owen. Nah, too easy to knock down. I know. Edith Brown Clement. But within a few hours of all those predictions, turned out, it's a boy. A well-coiffed, white-as-snow, full-blooded conservative, Brooks-brothered, wingtip guy named John Roberts. And thus the pedigree vetting went from 0 to 60 faster than the president puts that grin on. But all kidding aside, John Roberts could become that critical fifth vote. Beyond her legacy as the first woman to serve as a Supreme Court justice, Sandra Day O'Connor was a fulcrum, that fairly unpredictable fifth and often swing vote that could as easily be the voice of the dissenting opinion as she could represent the majority opinion. As set forth in Article 6 of the United States Constitution, the Supreme Court is charged with supporting the Constitution without religious or any other prejudice. So it's of vital importance that all Americans can feel confident that this member of the Federalist Society, a group that keeps its membership rolls secret, can adjudicate fairly for all Americans. But some of Roberts' positions give pause. He wanted to narrow the reach of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. He opposed positions by the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights for busing and affirmative action. In Hedgepeth versus Washington MTA, Roberts sided against a 12-year-old girl, handcuffed and arrested for eating a single French fry at a D.C. metro station. And he wrote a memo stating it was constitutionally acceptable for Congress to strip the very Supreme Court that he would be appointed to of its ability to hear broad classes of civil rights cases. So as questions of impartiality multiply, we brought some of ours to a staunch defender of equal rights and affirmative action, Catherine Spiller, Executive Vice President of the Feminist Majority. Here's Kathy Golden with Catherine Spiller.
Catherine, do we have reason to worry that aspects of our privacy and our freedoms would be assailed if Judge Roberts makes it onto the Supreme Court?
Oh, there's no question that Roberts is opposed to many aspects of women's rights and civil rights. When he was in the Reagan Justice Department, he argued that Title IX, which is the law that prohibits discrimination against women and girls in federally funded educational institutions, colleges and universities, and our public school system, he argued that Title IX should only be very, very narrowly applied so that, in effect, universities and colleges could discriminate against women applying for entry or applying to law school or medical school and not come under the enforcement of Title IX. And that position that the Department of Justice took in the Reagan years eventually resulted in losing Title IX in the Grove City College decision of the Supreme Court. We lost most of the enforcement of Title IX. We had to go back in the late 1980s and get Title IX restored in the Civil Rights Restoration Act. So we know he's opposed to broadly applying Title IX. We also know he's against affirmative action. He's against remedies to sex and race discrimination in the workforce. He's argued for only a very narrow interpretation of laws that protect against sex and race discrimination in the workplace. He's against busing as a remedy for racial segregation in our public school system. I mean, he's written very clearly in the Reagan years and the papers the White House has now released to show his hostility to women's rights and to civil rights and to the enforcement of these laws. What we want is his writings when he was in the Solicitor General's office under the first Bush administration also be released. We think that will show his hostility without question to the right to privacy, as well as to many other issues that were very contentious at that time involving sexual harassment, sex discrimination cases that were coming before the Supreme Court. So we're very anxious to see his writings during the first Bush years when he served in the Solicitor General's office. And by the way, they're refusing to release those. We feel very extreme positions that have been staked out by Judge Roberts. And we want the detail of these cases and we want to know where he's at. We want to know, will he be a vote on the court, just like Scalia and Thomas are now?
But this current administration is in a very confrontational mood. They did not want to release documents on Bolton either. They've given Bolton a backdoor pass into an institution he decries. I wonder what you thought about Roberts made a claim early on when no one could find very much on him initially. He claimed that he couldn't remember being a part of the Federalist Society.
Right.
And it turns out he was on the steering committee of the
Exactly. And they hold a lot of events in Washington, D.C., and he'd been in attendance at some of the Federalist Society events. There's no question. It's been so widely reported that Bush rushed this announcement of his nomination of Roberts to try and get the press off of the whole Karl Rove scandal and the Valerie Plame scandal. And I don't think it's going to be ultimately successful. There's a very serious investigation being conducted of the White House and the administration's potential role in having leaked the information on her status at the CIA. So that, I think, is going to continue. But it's very clear this nomination was rushed in an effort to try and get the country talking about something else. You know, Bush is taking a big risk in nominating someone like Roberts. That's why they're telling him he shouldn't answer any questions the Judiciary Committee asks, because Roberts would become the fifth vote. He would join four other justices who we believe, given their past voting records, we could lose the right to privacy as a guaranteed right to Americans. So Bush risks really outraging Americans across the board. So for a White House that has typically cared an awful lot about what the American public thinks, this was a very risky move. We just hope that the Judiciary Committee will ask the tough questions and that Judge Roberts will answer the questions fully, because if he does, it will become very clear, we think, to Americans and to the Senate that this man has very extreme views.
And I thought it was amusing when Sandra Day O'Connor mentioned that he was a fine candidate in her eyes, except for the fact that he wasn't a woman. She got that in.
Well, I think she was very disappointed. She really opened the doors for women, not only obviously on the Supreme Court, but in the federal judiciary. During her tenure on the Supreme Court, women went from only about 7% of all federal judgeships at the district, appellate, and Supreme Court level to about 24-25%. Now, by the way, we're slipping backward because President Bush has nominated a smaller percentage of his federal nominations have been women, fewer than Clinton. This President Bush is about on par with his father. Only about 21% of his appointments of federal judges have been women. So we're really, in fact, losing ground on the number of women who are in the federal judiciary. And Sandra Day O'Connor understood that her role was to set the example and to open the door, and she did. And she never forgot the discrimination that she faced in the workplace early in her career and the discrimination that she faced as a woman seeking political power. And she thought very carefully as she approached each of these Supreme Court cases that impacted on women, and was frequently the fifth vote holding the line on the turn back in women's rights and civil rights. She will be very missed on the court, and that's why we've got to fight very, very hard that we get a centrist to replace her. Otherwise, you're looking at a tilting to the right and the potential loss of some very long-cherished rights that Americans have enjoyed.
I feel somehow, maybe that's just the optimist in me, that people are beginning to notice that we have accidentally somehow destroyed our own system of checks and balances. And unless we make things a little more even, we will all suffer. Also, Judge Roberts might want to think about the fact that he has a daughter, and one of these days, though she is quite young now, she will be a teenager. And I wouldn't want him to have to answer to her later.
I hope he does think about the women. But I'm afraid that he has such a rigid and right-wing view of the courts and the role of the courts and the role of Congress that he will be part of turning back the clock even on the rights of his daughter and his wife. The rights that we currently enjoy are in jeopardy. I hope that your listeners will get involved. If never before, now is the time to let their concerns and their voices be heard. We will not go back. And if the Senate hears this, especially those senators who are champions for women's rights and civil rights in the United States Senate, on the Judiciary Committee, for example, Senator Feinstein needs to hear from women from all over the country. She's the only woman on the Judiciary Committee. She has a unique role to play at this moment in history. And when she's on the Judiciary Committee, she's representing all people in the United States, not just Californians. We need to be sure that Senator Kennedy and Senator Biden and Senator Schumer and Feingold out of Wisconsin, that they all hear from us on the Judiciary Committee, because they're there asking the questions that we want answers to. And I hope that your listeners will join us in this effort, and they can get more information on feminist.org, www.feminist.org. There's a lot of women's rights groups now out opposed to Judge Roberts. They can get information on how to help wage this fight. We need their help.
What is usually the best method? I mean, is there a petition there for them to sign, or should they make phone calls? What would you suggest?
They've got to call and write and send emails to their senators and to the senators on the Judiciary Committee. And if they go to www.feminist.org, they can get all of our information. They can write there through the website, actually send an email to Judiciary Committee members. We've got to make sure that the message is loud and clear. And write to all the women senators. The Democratic women senators have indicated they're very concerned about what they know about Roberts so far. They want some answers. And so bolster them. Thank them for being there and fighting for us. There's just not enough women in the United States Senate. We wouldn't have to worry about this. So they got to hear from you, and now's the time.
Thank you for being with us today on Voices of Our World, Catherine Spiller.
Thank you so much.
With what has been published thus far on John Roberts, do you feel that he would be impartial enough for the highest court? Email us. Go to www.marynoll.org/voices. Just click on Contact Us or call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. You're listening to Voices of Our World.